Miss Brother L, Sister Joyce, and Brother L singing. And good to have him back home. Amen.
Amen.
And I guess when you become snowbirds, it's something we're just going to have to get used to. Amen. But it is good to have him back. Turning your Bibles with us tonight into Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And pray for folks that are still sick and some still got the bug and things going around. Brother Tom was going to try to come this morning, and he wasn't able to. Kathy said he got up and was getting ready and just started feeling sick again and wasn't able to make it. So just be much in prayer for him and just lift him up before the Lord. My wife was hoping maybe to try to make it tonight, but she said she just felt it wasn't going to be a good thing if she did. So she's on the recovery list, and we just thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for her. And just remember one another. I tell you what, there's a lot going on. Remember Brother Chris tonight. He and his father-in-law are traveling, and they're already on the road, aren't they, Vicki? I thought, said he's leaving this afternoon. They're already on the road and heading to Southern Virginia. So just pray for traveling mercies for them. They're doing a revival down that way, and just pray that God would just use him in a great way. Amen. They might see souls and fruit for the labor that they put forth. If you found Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse number 25 tonight, and we'd invite you, if you're able, to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. The Bible says in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for the hope that we find within its pages. Lord, help us as we look to your word tonight, God, just to be stirred in our hearts and our lives, and just to be drawn unto you and to the place where you'd have us to be, Father, that you might encourage us and help us, Lord, as only you can do. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. You may be seated. As Jesus has given his Sermon on the Mount, and his most extensive, that's it, his most extensive message that he preached throughout all the Gospels, he speaks and he addresses so many issues that folks were facing, and so many issues that people were dealing with, and they were wondering about the temporal things of this world, and they were concerned about their daily needs. And much like we are today, we go about life and we're concerned about paying our bills, we're concerned about making sure that we keep the roof over our head and the groceries in the refrigerator and everything else, and where we're filled and we're encumbered about with a lot of things that just come with life itself. And these things many times can drag us down, and they can get our focus and our mind off of the right things and off of the place where we need to be and doing the things that we need to do. There's some things that God shares with his people right here. When you look and you see all that God provides for nature and all that God does in nature itself, it doesn't make you just stop to think and stop to wonder if He created us in His own image, in His own likeness, will He not supply the need that we have? Will He not take care of us? Our folks are fighting all kinds of problems and all kinds of issues. Someone left this morning and told me, please don't stop preaching about overcoming addictions because they had a loved one here this morning that is struggling and that is fighting with something in their life. Other folks, they deal with things that they face from day to day. Some, their jobs are just real sketchy, and they don't know tomorrow whether they're going to have a job. Some don't know where the next paycheck's coming from. Some don't know where the next bill's going to be paid for. And you say, well, it's easy just to say trust God, and it's easy just to say, well, give it all to Him, and He's going to take it. But so many times we want to do that, but we don't, because we try to deal with things in and of ourselves. Amen. And when we deal with things in and of ourselves, we find out that we might accomplish what we think that we're trying to get done, but in the end we realize that would have been a whole lot better off had we just let God have His way. We're loaded down with worry and care. Back in the 90s, there's a fellow, what's his name, Bobby McFerrin. Little Jamaican, come along. How many remember Bobby McFerrin? Amen. How many remember the song that Bobby McFerrin sung? Don't worry, be happy. Amen. Don't worry, be happy. Amen. It was a catchy little tune. Amen. And really, when you stop and think about it, the child of God needs to take that attitude. Amen. In my darkest valley, I don't have to worry. I can rejoice in the Lord because I know that He's in control. In my darkest hour and in my biggest problem, I don't have to worry. I can rejoice in the Lord because I know that He's in control. Amen. Through my greatest trials, I can give it all to the Lord, and I have no doubt that He's in control. And the only way that you can say that is if you follow God's plan and you follow God's prescription for your life. And He gives that to us here in verse number 33 of the chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you do what God says you should do, God is going to take care of you. Amen. If you trust the Lord, He will meet your need. Let's look at three things that He shows us in this verse, I think, that are important for us to realize for our own lives. First is the priority. He said, "Seek ye first." Amen. Seek ye first. That tells me there's a priority in our lives. Amen. There's a priority in the way that we're going to walk this walk in this life, that we're going to be walking in this Christian life, and it's putting God first in all things. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Amen. I tell you what, if we would learn to put Him first, a lot of other things would just take place and just happen naturally. Amen. If we learn to give Him the place, He says, "Seek." You know, if you're seeking, you're actively pursuing something. Amen. If you're seeking, you're busy about looking for it and striving to find it. You know, some people, they want to be passive Christians. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, and now God's supposed to just do everything for me because I'm a Christian. Amen. Jesus said we have to participate. Amen. I can't work my way to heaven. Amen. I can't work out my own salvation. But praise God, because I'm saved, amen, there's something that I need to be doing. And number one, first priority in my life is seeking for God's will. Seek the kingdom of God. Amen. If I'm seeking for something, I'm believing that it's there. Amen. I think most Christians must believe that heaven is just a fantasy or a fallacy. Look around your church tonight. Amen. This isn't this church. This is every church I've been to lately. Probably in the last 5 years, I've seen the biggest decline in so-called Christians, God's people, coming back to the house of God and being busy in the house of God. They just don't care. I don't know. Heaven must be a fantasy or a fallacy or something to them, because hey, if it was real, they'd want to participate. They'd want to get in touch with it. They'd want to be a part of it. You know what happens when we come together? The Lord and the King of glory, he steps out of the glory world and he passes through our way and he touches our hearts and our lives and he ministers the things that we stand in need of. Amen. I believe that heaven's real. I believe the kingdom of God is a real place. It's not of this world, and it's not in this world. Praise God. I'm glad it's not, because all the kingdoms of this world have always failed. Amen. Every kingdom that has ever been established, every kingdom that has ever risen, every nation that has become great. Look at America. Look at where America is today. Amen. America is in the gutter. It's in the sewer. Amen. I'm not unpatriotic. I'm as patriotic as the next man. Amen. I'm willing to shed. To this day, I'll stand up and defend this country against our enemies, foreign and domestic. Amen. I'm not afraid to shed my blood for my nation. But I realize that this nation, just like every nation before it, every kingdom before it, has never been able to stand and has never been able to uphold the Christian principles and the godly principles that God has demanded and God has required. That's why I'm looking for a heavenly home. That's why I'm looking for a heavenly kingdom, because I know if there's a kingdom, then praise God, there's got to be a king. Amen. And if there's a king, I want to be on his side. I want him to know that I'm loyal and I'm subject unto him and I'm willing to do whatever it is that he has for me to do. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God. Amen. Do you believe there's a kingdom up there? Do you believe that there's a king that's waiting, and the only thing that's holding him back is God the Father telling him, just hold on. He said, I'll let you know the day. I'll let you know the hour. I'll let you know the moment when you can step out and you can call your bride, those that have been seeking after you, those that have been looking for you, those that have been desiring, you can bring them on home. Amen. They don't no longer have to live in this old lowland of sin and sorrow. Are you actively seeking God's face? Are you actively seeking the kingdom of God? Do you say, Lord, here I am. What is it that you want me to do? You're the king. Amen. I'm seeking your kingdom. Guide my path. Give me my marching orders for today. Most of us get up and I say, instead of saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? We get up in the morning, we begin to pray. Well, Lord, I want you to take care of this. And Lord, I want you to take care of that. And Lord, I want you to see to this. And Lord, I want you to see to that. There's nothing wrong with asking God to meet our needs. But I think first and foremost, we ought to be asking God, what do you want me to do? Amen. What do you want me to do? And how do you want me to do it? And when do you want me to do it? And where do you want me to do it? In other words, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. He said, seek you first. We got to get our priorities right. And then he said, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. If we get our priority right, we'll take care of the purity. Amen. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. I can't approach the throne of God in my own righteousness and who I am. Praise God. My righteousness is my righteousness is. Amen. I like to make sure, I always make sure everybody understands that. It's not righteousness. I hear so many people. My righteousness is as filthy rags. Read it again. My righteousness is. Plural. Everything that I think is good about me. Everything, I can think of one thing, well, that's not so good. I can say that, and this over here, I can just boast on that. I can't boast about anything. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But praise God, because of his righteousness, I'm clothed in a new robe. I'm clothed in a new garment. Amen. Praise his name. I'm lost in my sin. I was dead in sin and trespasses. And because of sin, I'm filthy and I'm undone without the Lord. But praise God, He forgives me of my sin and He cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Praise God, not because of my righteousness, not because of who I am, and not because of what I've done, but because of who He is. Amen. His righteousness has cleansed me. Amen. I can't boast in what I am and who I am and what I've done and what I do. But praise God, I can boast in Him. Amen. We get the priorities right. And we get the purity right. Let me tell you something, folks. Young people, we got two or three here in our church that are graduating this year. Got new things laying out before them. New things that... I love that one. Amen. Amen. New things. I had that happen to me. We were singing, honey. We were singing at church, and I forgot to take my phone out of my pocket. And we were in the pulpit singing, and we were about halfway through a song, and that sucker went off, and luckily I hit it one time, and it quit. Amen. People are looking at him. What did he hit himself for? Amen. You can't help but laugh. Amen. I'm glad that I don't stand in my righteousness. Young people, don't go into this world. Don't seek your future, and don't seek the fortune that this world has to offer you in and of your own self. But submit yourself to the will of God and seek to be pure in His righteousness. Seek to be pure in His sight. Seek to be pure in all that you do and what He would have you to do. And praise God, He'll bless you for it. Amen. Amen. You know, when we realize how fickle as human beings that we really are. I'm saved and I know I'm saved. I have no doubt that if I was to die tonight, I would open my eyes in the glory world. Glory. Amen. And I'm glad I have that assurance. But you know what? The Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray. We scatter and we run our own way and we try to do our own things. But then the shepherd has to come. And he finds it. He brings conviction to us. He, you know, we're not... We sang that song, Didn't I Walk on the Water? And we changed the last line of that song. Some songs, I think, are great songs, but theologically, they're incorrect. You know, I was lost, but He didn't have to search to find me. He knew right where I was. Yes. Amen. I had to find myself where I was and acknowledge where I was before the shepherd could redeem my soul. Before the shepherd could take me. But we get that way. We go our own way. And praise God, because of His righteousness, because of who He is, when we let Him down, He reminds us whose we are. The shepherd doesn't forget about his sheep, and Jesus even taught the parable about the shepherd. He said, if the shepherd has 99 sheep and he loses one, don't he go and hunt the one? Don't he go and find the one? Don't he rejoice over the one more than the 99 that he already had? Praise God. That's because of His righteousness. You know, I have access to forgiveness, and I have access to 1 John 1:9. I'm glad He'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. I'm glad that I can go there. I'm glad I can claim that. I'm glad I can fall upon His mercy and find redemption for my sin. I can find cleansing for my soul, because in all of my righteousness, I would find myself splitting hell wide open. But He keeps me pure. He keeps me precious. He keeps me polished. He keeps me like He wants me to if I seek after Him. You know, there's a whole lot of ifs in our Christian walk. Some run around and they tell people, well, you're saved and going here. You're never going to die and go to hell. And people go out and sit on a bar stool for 50 years and die and think they're going to heaven. Friend, it don't happen that way. There's a whole lot of ifs in the Word of God. And I tell you what, it's incumbent upon me to walk close with the Lord. It's incumbent upon me to realize and know that because He's made a change in me, I'm a new creature. I have a new walk, and my goal in life has changed because now I'm seeking and I'm desiring, I'm looking for that heavenly home. Amen. But I'm also preparing myself, and I will never get to the place where I reach perfection. Amen. Until I'm taken from this world into that world. But until then, it's incumbent on me to keep this vessel pure, to keep this vessel ready, to keep this vessel meet for the Master's use. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a work salvation, but praise God, because I'm saved, I work to keep my vessel pure. I work to keep my vessel in a place where the Master can use it, and that at the time that He calls me, it's ready for His use. Don't worry, because we can put the right priorities in our life, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen. I can rest in His righteousness and not in mine alone. And I can prosper under the hand of God. Look, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, get your priorities right, and His righteousness, get your purity taken care of, and these things shall be added unto you. And as we said this morning, you know, we're not preaching some health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. I'm not telling you that you get saved and you seek to live a pure life and you're going to be rich. But praise God, I'd rather be rich in the things of the Lord than in the riches of this world. Amen. Amen. It's hard to find a really rich man that will trust the Lord. Look at some of the richest men, some of the most popular men. So look at Michael Jackson, a germaphobe and every other kind of phobe. Look at Howard Hughes, a germaphobe and a recluse and, you know, just hide himself away. Look at the people who have the riches of this world, and they cling to the riches of this world, and they clamor to the riches of this world, and they let the riches of this world control their lives. And they die separated, segregated, away from people because they're so afraid of what might happen to this earthly tabernacle. They might as well be dead. That's not living. That's not life, hiding away. My land, some of the most prosperous and happy people I know are people that have absolutely nothing. Amen? They don't have a home. They live in somebody else's home. They rent a home. They don't own a home. They rent. Hey, man, some of them don't even own a car. They depend on somebody else to take them where they are, to use public transportation. Yet you talk to them and just happy as can be. Just as carefree as can be. Why? Because they trust the Lord. They depend upon the Lord. They're happy with what the Lord has provided to them. I remember, and I've told you all this many a time, I just visited Mrs. Walker up here in Northeast, lived in a little shack alongside the road, Parkinson's disease and all bent over, and praise God, you'd look at her and you think, oh my, that poor old woman, she don't have anything, lives in that little old shack. But praise God, she was one of the happiest people I ever met in my life. Why? Because she trusted the Lord for everything. My Aunt Lessie didn't have a house. Amen. She didn't have a whole lot of this world. She lived in her last days in a senior apartment complex thing over there in Newark. And she never had any of the wealth or anything in this world. But praise God, she loved Jesus, and she was one of the happiest people you ever wanted to meet. Amen. Prosperity doesn't come because of things. Prosperity comes because of a relationship. Amen. You take two people that are in love. My wife and I got married. You know what we had? We got married. I had the clothes on my back in an old worn out car. And that's what she had. We started out with nothing, still got most of it, but praise God. Amen. We didn't have anything. And we were just as happy as could be. Amen. My lands, if I'd have died the night we got married, it would have took an undertaker 2 weeks to get the grin off my face. I mean, we were happy. In our first 4 years of marriage, we lived below the poverty level. I don't think folks understand how bad the military used to be paid. But the military used to be paid very, 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 especially the enlisted ranks. Especially the lower enlisted ranks. Amen. The E-nothings. You were way below the poverty level of America. But we were happy. And we trusted the Lord. Amen. When we made decisions and we didn't rush into things, we prayed about it. We trusted the Lord. Amen. We went to buy a car and the salesman there trying to put the pressure on you. So, we're going to go home and pray about this. You go, what? So we're going to go home and pray about this. I'll let you know in a day or so. We trusted the Lord. Amen. Any decision that we made, most things that we've done, whether we bought a couch, a chair, we prayed about it. And you know what? The Lord blessed us for it. I didn't say he made us rich. He met our needs. I told you this morning, there was times when we had just enough change left before payday to buy one Slurpee and share it. But we were rich as rich could be as far as we was concerned. We had everything that we needed because the Lord had prospered what little bit we had. You know the widow's oil? Amen. I believe in that. Amen. You know the barrel of flour that didn't run out? I believe in that. Amen. You know the electric bill that is like, you know, $12 every month, and the electric company can't believe what it is, and they come and they replace the meters and they look all through the house to figure out what we're doing. And I finally told them, said, look, you might as well just give up. She just trusts the Lord, and the Lord takes care of her. Y'all might as well just figure that out. My mother-in-law, I mean, my electric bill, we had, you know, essentially the same house. My electric bill would be $70, $80, $90. She'd call me up, how much electric bill this month? $79. Guess what mine is? Oh, don't tell me. $13. I said, you just got to rub it in my face, don't you? She'll tell you, the Lord takes care of me. Amen. The Lord can prosper you. The Lord can prosper you in your witnessing and in your ministry. The Lord can prosper you in your temporal needs. The Lord can prosper you in every way if you'll trust in Him and follow His design for our lives. This isn't an apostle teaching. This isn't Peter or John or Paul telling us this. This is Jesus Himself. Don't worry. Be happy. Get your priorities right. Get your purity right. And prosper in the things of the Lord. Amen. I don't know who this was meant for, who needed it tonight, but it's what God laid on my heart. There's somebody here that's struggling. Somebody here that is trying to do things, and you're feeling like you're being pulled apart, and you're wondering, and you're fearful of where things are coming from. Let me tell you tonight, just trust the Lord. Amen. Just trust the Lord. Just depend on Him. You know, I preached that message this morning. I went and got in the car to go home, And the first song that come on my Sirius radio is I Will Trust Him. Amen. Somebody here has something in their life that they need to let go of. Somebody here has something that they need to just trust the Lord with. Make Him your first priority. Desire to please Him in your life, your purity, and let Him give you what you need. It might be deliverance. It might be a helping hand. It might be hope when it all seems hopeless. But let Him prosper you. So we stand on our feet tonight.